You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. If he does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your host, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
And welcome back to another episode of the BisonReport.com radio podcast. Due to some scheduling kerfuffles, Ross and I are only doing a one podcast week, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be still rolling out the content. We will break down a very impressive road victory for the Bison and then preview the top 10 matchup out at Youngstown State this upcoming weekend. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ross Uglum. Ross, first question for you is, does it ever get sick and tiring to watch Aaron Rodgers lead a game-winning or game-time drive?
No, it used to be kind of something that was a downfall of his, or people would give him a hard time for, mostly because that Super Bowl run and the 2 years right after it, they were kind of, they're probably, not maybe than this year, but certainly than past years, they're a little bit more talented, and they were generally blowing teams out and losing most of the games that they didn't blow somebody out. So the narrative was that he wasn't clutch. You know, they weren't coming from behind at all. It's like, oh, is he clutch? Well, now that's sort of been proven, and it's been a lot of fun. I missed the blowouts. They were way less stressful, though.
Tough life you guys have. So let's get into the news part of this podcast. And topic A for us, Ross, is Jackson Brown returning. Again, a special teams guy that could potentially work his way back into the secondary. But what do you anticipate with Jackson Brown now back and back and healthy?
Yeah, very important to the special teams. Was probably going to be more important to the defense, but I think he might have gotten Wally pipped. James Hendricks really seems to have taken over the third safety role, and I don't know as though that's something that Jackson Brown is going to take away from him. I'm not so sure about the 2018 safety job, the one that, you know, Trey Dempsey will obviously be graduating out of. But for now, it looks like Jackson Brown might have to spend another year on specials.
All right, and so let's also talk about, I know you've mentioned it quite a few times, it's that single-season touchdown record. Lance Dunn gets another two this weekend. I mean, is he realistically on pace, or is this something you think is, you know, kind of unattainable? Or where do you think that this Lance Dunn touchdown record race could potentially go in?
I think he's in great shape. He does not have a game with a single touchdown yet. It's all been multiple touchdown games. He only needs to average like 1.8 touchdowns per game to break the record in the regular season. I'm not sure how they would treat that record if it were broken in the playoffs. But, I mean, I know that this is a guy who really does have the ability to get it done. I mean, I think in these more competitive games too, it's entirely possible you're going to see more touches for him, because they really are playing Anderson, as far as touches are concerned, even more than they're playing Dunn. And that, I really think, as the games get more and more competitive, could be something that changes. So we'll have to see how that goes in the long run, but it's exciting. You know, this is a school that has had a ton of excellent, excellent running backs and really good offensive lines for those running backs to run behind. So it would be cool to see the all-time touchdown record, basically owned by an option quarterback, to be broken by a guy here in the modern Division I era. It would be very, very cool.
All right, so let's look around the Missouri Valley from last week. You have, obviously, North Dakota State with a 52-0 road victory Western Illinois goes into Northern Iowa, gets a road victory, 38-29. South Dakota State disposes of Southern Illinois. Illinois State falls on the road to Northern Arizona. And then finally, the big matchup of the weekend last week was the Fighting Chris Strublers of South Dakota beating Youngstown State at home. I mean, what are you going to take away from week six in the Valley?
Mostly that, you know, it was exciting to pay attention to that USD-Youngstown game and that they're two exceptional clubs. I think everybody sort of thought that the national race was NDSU and JMU and that the Valley race was NDSU and South Dakota State. But Youngstown State and South Dakota are legitimate entries into that conversation. I don't think that's even really debatable at this point. And South Dakota State needs to be careful because you know, there are all sorts of chances that they potentially don't make the playoffs. If they drop that home game to NDSU, you never know.
All right, well, now let's talk about another former NDSU football player, Marcus Williams. He's let go by the New York Jets, but he is claimed by another AFC team. What do you think about the switch for Marcus Williams?
Well, you know, it would have been a lot more exciting if it was a week ago and they still had Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt because, you know, DeSean Jackson really appears to be potentially something special, which has always been the downfall of that club, is the, you know, is the quarterback position. So for them to have a QB finally, it's been really exciting, I think, to watch the development of that franchise. Now, though, without Watt, without Mercilus, John Simon left last year. They got away with the J.J. Watt thing by having a myriad of pass rushers available to them. They don't have that now. They are not going to be as good as they were. I really don't think that's going to be possible. I think it might be a lost season. But you know what? A job is a job. And for Marcus, this is actually big because this is his fourth year, and if he gets through the entire season, he'll become a fully vested veteran, which will award to him the pension and all the things that you get when you become a fully vested veteran in the National Football League. So it's an important deal for Marcus personally. And anytime a guy, you know, that went to your university is able to stay on active rosters in the league, it's important. And that's what he is. I mean, when you get claimed on waivers, you cannot go to the practice squad. You have to go right to the active roster, and that's what he did.
All right, let's transition and talk some NDSU basketball. We have a recruiting nugget here in a second, but I know you want to talk about some alternate uniforms that have been kind of whispered around. They are going to be gold. And how excited are you for those?
I'm excited. I'm excited, certainly. We knew last year, just our idea talking to the staff, because I had asked about the gold jerseys, and I think they ran into a situation where the guys that they had on the club were not wearing the same numbers that the gold jerseys had. So they got new gold jerseys from Nikes, and they are beautiful. I think NDSU, well, as most people understand with me being a Packers fan, I think NDSU has one of the best color combinations in the country. I think by far Nike does the best job with school uniforms, and these are mighty Marty Purdy. Plus, if you're a Nike school, you're probably not being investigated by the FBI.
So, yes, that bodes well for you right now. So let's talk about that little recruiting nugget there we have in the recruiting time, with it being an away game at Youngstown State. Not a whole lot on the football recruiting side of things, but it is worth noting that official visitor from the previous weekend, previous home game, Sam Griesel, ended up taking a visit to South Dakota, and he ended up committing to South Dakota while on the visit. So I know that you have some sources there close to the NDSU basketball program, Ross. So what do you anticipate the next step being for Coach Richmond in this class?
Well, they I don't think are really locked into anything. I would say, not to be disrespectful to a high school kid, that had nothing to do with it, but I would just say that the staff sort of identified Griesel, as I mentioned last time, as a glue guy, nobody that was ever going to lead the team in scoring, somebody that, you know, would potentially be the your Corey Browns, and those are certainly important guys to have, but I don't feel like the staff thinks they just lost a superstar to USD. I'm thinking there's a chance, you know, that they could potentially quit and save the scholarship if they don't identify another student athlete that they really, really want. I think they have that flexibility from a scholarship perspective, especially with the attrition that's gone on in the program. I think they're really at a spot right now where they are going to be young for a while. And so if they don't feel the need to take a scholarship kid right now, they don't have to.
All right, so let's get into this Indiana State just destroying of the Sycamores at 52-0 win on the road for your North Dakota State Bison. And that starts with the signal caller, Ross. Each and every week, it seemingly we have to lead with the A topic, and that's Easton Stick going 18 of 23 for 4 passing touchdowns. And the other thing, Ross, you called for it, 3 carries for 53 yards. So, again, if you want to check out everything that Ross has to say and see it in word form, you can head on over to the Bison Report to check out his Upon Film review. But, Ross, Easton Stick continues to go above and beyond expectations for even what you had for him in terms of lofty expectations this season. Go on about your boy, Easton.
It was a masterclass. There's absolutely no doubt about it. He was legitimately incredible in this game. Extremely high completion percentage, not maybe the yards per attempt that he had been cranking out, but very, very, very good for a road contest. Outside, thought that he made a couple of exceptional throws to Darius Shepard. Really thought Shep had a nice game, and mentioned in the film review that I think Shep would be an absolute superstar in a spread offense. You know, if there was a team that did throw the ball 45 times a game, I think you'd be looking at Darius Shepard as a very good and very important player. But Stick was what he has been all season, and that is incredibly, incredibly efficient. He's been careful with the football, still happens to be interception-free, which is, of course, important, especially for a ball-control football team like North Dakota State. But he's pushing the ball down the field. He's moving defenders with his eyes to create easier throwing lanes for himself. You know, for a guy that took a lot of flack going into the season, he's been pretty darn incredible.
Yeah, he's only completing 73% of his passes with a 10-0 touchdown to interception ratio. I'd say that's okay. So let's get switched to the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, you go on the road in the Missouri Valley and you don't give up any points. You probably force some turnovers. So you look at it, 3 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, 6 turnovers on the day for your North Dakota State defense, Ross.
Yeah, in a game, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but in a game where they did not have their best tackling, it was important, I think, for them to turn the ball over because they were giving up yards. They weren't giving up yards in chunks, but there was definitely a chance throughout that game for Indiana State to make it a game, and they didn't. They were never able to be a competitive aspect of that football game, and that's because of the turnovers. If that's a 0-0 turnover game, you know, that game probably ends 40-ish to 20-ish, and that's still a Bison victory, but it's not the dominant performance that you ended up seeing.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about linebacker play. We mentioned it coming into this week. Jabril Cox and Mr. Board as well working things out at the linebacker position. So what did you think about the rotation between Chris and Jabril on Saturday?
I think it's important. I think it's good for the team moving forward, not only the 2018 Bison, which, you know, as a recruiting-based outfit like you and I are, that's something we always are paying attention to. But at the same time, just for this squad, for depth purposes, we've certainly seen the way that that these linebackers specifically, but just defenders in general, can and do have to miss a couple weeks here and there. So it's important to have guys that are able to come in and play. And it's important for Jabril's development to be able to play that Sam linebacker position that they feel like he's suited for in the long term. So I think it's good. That's no disrespect to Chris, who's been a very good Bison and will continue to be an important part of what they are going to do moving forward in the 2017 season.
Again, we have to be nitpicky here when you're looking at a 52-0 loss, but heading into this important game this weekend, you would have liked to have seen a little bit better tackling. Again, it is kind of pulling it hairs. I think that's the saying.
Splitting hairs.
Yeah, splitting hairs, excuse me. But again, a 52-0 loss. But tackling, Ross, I know that's something you really want to touch on here.
Yeah, it was poor. The tackling specifically from the defensive backs was not great. And yeah, it is picking nits. They won 52-0. But in order to win a national championship, even a team that wins football games 52-0 is going to have to win is going to have to improve. And that is incredibly important. And so what I think the staff can, and actually as I found out later in the week, will focus on is the tackling. And the reason I say that is because you never guess who liked the three clips that I put online of poor tackling. And that would be your North Dakota State University defensive coordinator, Matt Entz. You can go check that out on Twitter. Entz is someone who happens to follow me, but at the same time, apparently felt that he agreed with me pertaining to the quality of his defense's tackling on Saturday. So always interesting to see that, you know, when a guy who literally runs the defense is agreeing, you know, that it was pretty darn sloppy. So that's something, especially with Youngstown State coming up, that they're going to have to get clean.
All right, so let's end on a good note when talking about this Indiana State game. Let's talk about your safeties, Ross. Trey Dempsey, James Hendricks, and Robbie Grimsley. Again, this is a safety trio I know that you put on Twitter that could potentially be up there amongst the best. I mean, where do you personally think they rank, and how impressed were you on Saturday?
Well, first I want to ask you to do something for me, and that's check on that Twitter poll while I'm talking. The second thing would be, yeah, they're very impressive. And the other big question I have is, is it realistic that this squad puts three safeties on the all-conference team? I think it's something that's probably deserved at this point. I don't know if it's something that's realistic just because of the way that the voting works. But the other two safeties in Grimsley and Dempsey are all Americans that continue to be all Americans, and that's not really even at this point debatable. Although I put that up yesterday, and if the guy who said this is an easy decision because Grimsley can't tackle is listening to the show, I really just want to tell you how much I appreciated that and got a good laugh out of that, and would invite you to potentially watch a game that they're playing in 2017. That would be exciting for you. But, yeah, that's
shots fired from Ross. By the way, Ross, the update on your Twitter poll, can you take a guess who has 72% of the vote right now?
See, I think it's I would guess that it is Hegel, Dudzik, and Shepard.
Correct.
And, you know, there's no mystery. You know, Christian Dudzik and I have a pretty good relationship. Those are the guys that were the safeties, you know, during the dynasty or during the championship run. They won a lot of football games together. They had a lot of legendary performances, certainly. But I certainly do, though, find it interesting that they are at 72%. You're talking about Grimsley and Dempsey that will probably have six All-American appearances between the two of them. I think at the very least, Trey Dempsey has a very legitimate shot at the National Football League, and they're, you know, not doing super well in that poll. And then you've got the Dahl, Schomer, Belmont group of folks, and they have 9 years of NFL service to Dudzik and Hegel and Shepard's zero. So, you know, for them to be winning by that much, and I'm not saying I disagree with it, because I probably don't, but for it to be a landslide for me was very surprising.
All right, you want to take us into our ad for the week?
Absolutely. We're going to continue on with the Youngstown State preview, but before that, a word from our sponsor.
Other insurance companies try to cover the entire country. We think there's plenty of ground to cover right here, with homes, autos, farms, and ranches. Nodak Insurance Company is focused on serving the people in the great state of North Dakota, with agents who care and provide the answers you need to your doorstep. Hi, I'm Ross Uglum, your agent in Fargo. Call me today.
All right, let's break down the Fighting Bows.
All right, so let's get into it. Youngstown State, I think the first thing worth talking about, we mentioned in the pre-production meeting, Ross, is this is the third big, huge game in a row for this Youngstown State team. They took on South Dakota State at home. They were able to get a 19-7 victory, but then they had to go on the road to the Fighting Chris Drevlers of South Dakota. They lost that one, an emotional, tight one at the end. And now it's the third big game in a row for Youngstown State to get into, with North Dakota State coming to town. While in retrospect, this is North Dakota State's first big game of the season that they know they have to get up for. So, I mean, do you think that's overanalyzing this to say that it's the third big game in a row? How is this going to play out? I mean, what are your thoughts on at least the third big game in a row versus North Dakota State's first big one?
I can't imagine that you're overanalyzing. I don't agree with that take. I really think that this is a big one for Youngstown State because of the loss, and not only because of the loss, but because of just where they are emotionally after those two huge games. Bo's a player's coach. Bo's also a very high-strung individual. I think anybody that has watched Nebraska, Youngstown State, anywhere he's been, definitely understands that this guy does not mess around, and that, you know, when he's not messing around, that's going to be reflected on his football team. I think their energy level, their level of stress has been high now for almost a month going into this NDSU game. So I think there's a real chance that it could go poorly for Youngstown, and you'll see that, I think, too, in the prediction of just what I think is actually going to happen here.
All right, so let's talk about the Youngstown State offense first, and that's going to be a potential two-quarterback game for Youngstown State. They have two quarterbacks that have started games on the season for them, one being Hunter Wells, started the first three games, and I believe he's out with an injury or working his way back from. So that means Nathan Mays is going to be in at quarterback, someone that's completing 64% of his passes, only passing for on average about 100 yards a game. But Ross, I think the big thing to note here is there is a potential two-quarterback, and they are both. Hunter Wells, more of a pocket passer. Nathan Mays, someone that we're going to have to talk about a little bit later in terms of the QB run. So what do you think this NDSU defense is actually preparing for at the signal caller position?
I would guess that they're probably preparing for Mays. I think Kleiman mentioned something about preparing for some Wells packages because, as you've mentioned, they do like to run the ball with Wells. And if you've been paying attention to some North Dakota State stuff over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons defensively, the QB run is something that really does bug them occasionally. You're not going to go 83-7 or whatever in the world they are by having a glaring weakness, but I mean, it definitely is something that they have dealt with. It absolutely, without question, lost them a game against South Dakota State last year. It's caused some stress in some playoff games. So the QB run is always something to pay attention to when cheering for North Dakota State or for hoping they do well, I guess.
All right, let's talk a little bit of running game, because when you look at the strength of this Penguin offense, that's the running game. They're averaging 5.7 yards a carry with 17 rushing touchdowns through their first five games, while North Dakota State's defense against the run has been absolutely stout, 2.3 yards a carry, only three rushing touchdowns allowed. So, again, you look at the two strengths of both teams. We're going to find out on Saturday whose is actually a strength and who is kind of misleading of sorts. So which do you expect? The Bison defense to show up and shut down Tevin McCaster, who is the star running back for Youngstown State? He's got eight rushing touchdowns, averaging 5 yards a carry on 100-plus attempts. Or what are you expecting to see Saturday?
It'll be interesting, certainly. I think so I had a chance, and I believe you or the Scout website retweeted it. I had a chance to go on the Bison Illustrated podcast, which is the new NDSU podcast. We're very friendly with Joe Kerlin and Mr. Swanson over there. They have been another kind of part of NDSU's new media, which has been really exciting. I talked about this specifically as it sort of pertains to what happened to what happened to in the Iowa game is I guess what I'm trying to say. And what that was all about was we talked about, even on this show, our fan base, North Dakota State, watched that Charleston Southern game, watched the Eastern Washington game, and really thought to themselves, holy cow, we are going down to Iowa to watch NDSU lose by four touchdowns because they had given up so many yards to, you know, the FCS level athletes. And I said, just hold on. And we, you know, I'm not going to say that I picked NDSU to win. There's audio evidence that I absolutely did not do that. But what I will say is I said it was going to be a lot closer because, you know, they were going to likely try to get in a boxing match with NDSU. And I think that's exactly what Youngstown State is going to try and do, is get into a boxing match with NDSU. And I don't think it's a very good idea. I really don't. I think that they are ultimately going to be disappointed trying to get into a ball control match with, you know, one of the best ball control programs in the country, regardless of division. I know that's the way Youngstown State's been winning games, but I don't think that's the way you're going to win games against Nate Tangway and Nick DeLuca.
I mentioned it a little bit briefly earlier, as did you, but I think we do need to break down this running quarterback potentially in Nathan Mays, because you look at what he's done in his two starts. He's run the ball double-digit times against South Dakota State. He went 11 for 65 in a score, but against South Dakota, he only ran it 14 times, so he actually ran it more. But again, he didn't find Pater. So again, a rushing quarterback who's going to take off 10-plus times, I know that probably makes you just a little bit nervous.
Yeah, you have to pay attention to it. I will say, you know, most of the times that it's gone poorly, though it's been an unscouted look, definitely the case with the Taryn Christian game in the Fargo Dome last year. That was not at all something that they had shown in their previous, I don't know, I think it was four, maybe five games leading up to their showdown with NDSU. So that was something different. Like I said, unscouted look, and I don't believe that Mays is going to be an unscouted look for NDSU staff. I think it's something they obviously are trying to get done, and it'll be something that will be contained, I think, schematically by Coach Entz.
All right, so let's switch to when NDSU has the ball on offense. Again, you look at the strength of this NDSU offense, it's running the ball. Over 239 rushing attempts for NDSU. They have 23 rushing touchdowns, averaging 6.7 yards a carry. And then when you look at the Youngstown State defense against the run, they're only averaging 3.5 yards a carry and have only given up five rushing touchdowns. So I'll pose it to you again, Mr. Uglum. Again, two rushing offense and defense combinations. Which one do you think comes out on top on Saturday?
That matchup reminds me of Coach Richmond. Coach would always tell me, whether it was in private conversation or at a press conference, you know, we're just going to do us. That's our main concern. Our main concern is playing Bison basketball. We're not going to spend a ton of time adjusting what we do to the competition. If we play our game well, we have a chance to beat anybody. That's what I think you might see from North Dakota State. I think they can see Youngstown State's strength, which would be rushing the pass, not really covering the pass, as Chris Streveler sort of showed you there with his goofy mechanics. They're still going to run the ball, though, I think. They're still going to try and run the football, even though the stats would tell you to throw. I think they're going to do them. They're going to play Bison football no matter who's lining up across from them. And we'll see. We'll see what these Youngstown State athletes are really made of. You know, I talked a ton about Derek Rivers and Avery Moss. Both of them were NFL prospects, are now NFL players. David Rivers was with the Packers in camp for a little bit. They lost some NFL quality guys on defense, but statistically have still been very good. So it'll be a good test. I think by far this Youngstown State defense will be the most talented defense NDSU has faced, but they're the number one scoring offense in the country for a reason. This is an extremely talented offensive football team, and I have to believe that they are going to be able to impose their will on Youngstown State and not let Bo dictate to them what they will and won't run.
I really also want to ask you about the passing game, because statistically wise, over the course of the season here thus far for Youngstown State, they've actually been pretty good against the pass. Opponents are only completing 53% of their passes for only 5 passing touchdowns on the year. But you look at the most recent game, which is the game against South Dakota last week. Chris Streveler, not a passing quarterback from the years I saw him at Minnesota, is able to complete 60% of his passes for 360 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. So I guess the question here is actually, is Youngstown State not really good against the pass? And if so, is this going to be like last week where we saw Easton Stick put it through the air when North Dakota State gets into the red zone?
Well, that's going to be, I think, the most interesting matchup of the whole game is, are they good? Are they good against are they good against the pass, or were they playing poor pass competition? Because as you mentioned, Chris Streveler is not Carson Wentz. Chris Streveler is not really probably Easton Stick.
No,
Chris Streveler is, as we've mentioned, hashtag FCS Tebow.
Yes, he is.
And for hashtag FCS Tebow to hang 360 on you is not ideal. And that makes me think that the guys who have replaced the defensive backs might not be at the same level as the guys that replaced the the defensive linemen, which, you know, that's not surprising to me. It's difficult to play defensive back early in your career, and that's probably where, you know, where they're kind of at.
All right, final thing I want to ask you about before we get your official BisonReport.com prediction is the Youngstown State pass rush. You look at what they did last week against Chris Streveler. They sacked him 4 times. They have 13 sacks on the year. And again, another area where I know you think this NDSU squad needs to improve is in their pass blocking. So is this something to really keep an eye on come Saturday?
Absolutely. Especially when you've got a quarterback situation that NDSU does, where your backup is not somebody that you feel great about. Not because he's bad, but because he's completely unproven. Normally a word that drives me insane. I don't like unproven. I think you see every year somebody steps up. You know who was unproven this year? James Hendricks was unproven, and that's worked out just fine. But at the quarterback position, there's so much that goes into it that it is a little bit frightening to have a guy that you don't have complete trust in. So they've got to keep Easton healthy. Frankly, just to win the game, they've got to keep Easton clean. And so it will absolutely be something to pay attention to, I think. And I'll be watching that the whole time because, you know, they really are not as good at the pass protection part of their jobs yet. It's going to be something that comes, especially for athletes of this caliber. But, you know, right now, I'm not terrified. I just think it's something to pay attention to.
All right, let's get your official BisonReport.com prediction for this game on Saturday. It looks like a 6 or 7 p.m. kickoff. And here's the interesting part about it. If you haven't already, head on over to the Bison Report to check out Know Your Enemy. I touched base with one of the beat writers for Youngstown State about this game. And his official prediction is kind of mind-boggling when you look at the Vegas spread. He is predicting a 35-31 Youngstown State victory. Okay. The over-under in this game has risen a point since we started recording, Ross, but it's only at 41 now. And North Dakota State is an 8.5-point road favorite. So I think Youngstown State guy might be drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit. So what do you anticipate from this game on Saturday? And if you were a Vegas man, what would you be placing your chips in on this game in terms of the spread?
Well, I think if the beat writers of the opposing teams, who, as I understand it, are supposed to be neutral, had their way with their predictions, I believe NDSU would be 2-3 at this point.
Crazy how that happens.
Yeah, it is strange. I can't believe the score that he picked, and I don't
it's
like...
It's only 25 points over the Vegas total. Right? Yeah. I don't know why you're so outlandish about it.
I think what will end up happening is I think this game will surprise some people and really establish North Dakota State as the best team in the country as opposed to James Madison. I think that they're going to win this game. I think it's going to be 24-7. That's what I've got.
24-7. So three Lance Dunn touchdowns to keep on pace with the record, or what do you think?
Two. Two Lance Dunn touchdowns.
Sounds good. Do you got anything else for the people before we head on hot of here for the week?
No, sir.
All right. So once again, we want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to check out all the great things that Ross does in terms of previewing and breaking down each game every week, head on over to the Bison Report and subscribe now. Again, it's $4.95 for a month for the best in-depth Bison football breakdowns and previews that you can ask for here on the interwebs. And with basketball starting right up here too, you know no one covers the Bison basketball squad like Ross. So we want to thank you guys for listening once again. We'll be back to talk to you next week about hopefully the first top 10 victory of the season.